Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, so it's Farrell on the bench on a pain-free Friday in the biggest way possible. Hanging out of bed, seated, broken, ate a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad letters, bad taste, bad law, bad new, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palace, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny, somebody tried to steal her CBD oil, and then she threw a bottle of wine at him, but not before she had a couple of hits off of it. In New York City, the Big Apple, ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, to rent and driving, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do be all my friends that come around, flights of flights of party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it, ooh. What's gigging is Farrell with Carver High. And so explain that to me. Yesterday, Colorado State was in trouble. They were saying that the football staff was, you know, doing illegal, you know, what were they, threatening players? Don't, you're not allowed to say anything about our COVID protocols and everything else. And wasn't that what it was, Carver High? Like a cover up about COVID?
Yes. And then, about, like you said, the protocols that were going on around the university, around the program, you should say.
That they just weren't doing any of it and that they were lying about it.
Correct.
And so then, but then today, you're telling me that in one day it turned into racism and bullying? And yesterday, half of the football team, you know, came out and said none of it's true, that their coaching staff never did any of that stuff. The COVID hiding protocol, lying, all that was BS, right? That's, we were reporting that last night, that that's what they were saying. And now today, suddenly, they're racists and bullies. Shut down the football program? What a mess in Fort Collins. That's where Jesus lives.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, We bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
That music's the worst. It is the worst. I don't care if I'm back. It's terrible. Music's the worst. Honestly, my dog can play a piano better. I don't even know what's happening there. Anyway, I just have to see this. Colorado State Athletic Director Joe Parker suspended all football activities indefinitely and asked the president to expand the announced investigation into the athletic department to include allegations of racism and verbal abuse in the football program. So they paused all football activity, including practice, workouts, team meetings, after learning of extremely troubling allegations of racism and verbal abuse from CSU's athletic administration generally and in the football program specifically. The school is committed to being anti-racist university. We will not tolerate behavior or climate that goes against that core value. CSU Athletics is committed to the health and well-being of student athletes above all other priorities, and this includes their mental health. We believe it is our responsibility to make sure that all student athletes feel welcomed and valued as members of an inclusive athletics community. I have consulted with the president about these new allegations, which obviously deeply concern her as well. While we have been working hard towards playing football, it's just so PR, this statement. I can't even read it anymore. I'm going to puke. He's concerned the lack of pay for the African-American coaches on the staff. He also said he had concerns about nepotism after Adazio hired his son and Urban Meyer's son-in-law. Parker said Meyer has been an advisor during the search for a new coach. And a harmful culture. He'd witnessed racially insensitive comments under Bobo and worried about a similar environment under Adazio. I'm more concerned about your conduct in allowing CSU athletics to become an environment where coaches can exhibit toxic masculinity as well as make racially insensitive comments to black players on your watch, Hill wrote to Parker after he was terminated in January. Also, bringing in a new football coach who tells the graduate assistants within the days of knowing them that he doesn't give a Pharrell about their feelings is contradictory to becoming committed to the holistic development of student athletes and of crafting a culture where students thrive. Okay, coaches, players, and sports medicine staff told ESPN that athletic department leaders discouraged athletes from being tested for COVID and are not providing accurate information to local and state health officials and are ignoring guidelines to quarantine athletes who might have been exposed. They were also exposed to the music that we play on this show. And it affected their mental health and their grades. The new allegations add another layer to the investigation. Colorado State hired Steve Adazio as football coach in December, replacing Mike Bobo. And then Adazio said he fully supported the investigation, of course, in which he's lying. He's lying. He fully supports the investigation into his racist culture at Colorado State. Strangely enough, how many times have I told you this story that I like stayed there for a while in Fort Collins? Carver, you know that's true, right? That I spent some time there.
Yes, you've said that a couple of times to me and on the show.
Yeah, it's at the foothill of the Rockies, and Jesus lives there, and they've got really good reefer there. I just wanted to say, based on, and good beer, really good IPA beers and reefer, and Jesus lives there. I saw him all over town. He's everywhere. I mean, I literally saw him everywhere I went. I mean, at one point I thought there were multiple Jesuses. At one point I thought there was a bunch of them there. And but I don't understand how it went from they're not, you know, cover up to COVID test to racism and verbal and mental abuse and bullying at It just sounds like.
Well, you know, anyway. It is 2020. I mean, things change fast now. You know, it's 20. That's kind of the way the year's going.
God, things change fast. You got that right. I mean, my God. All right, just so you know, we got Mike Williams on the show tonight, right? Coming up here in about 10 minutes. He's going to talk about the Forella Maker Trophy, which is the PGA Championship, which is going on for $5 on ESPN Plus. And then at what time? 11, 12? I have Alyssa Rose from the Rose Report. She's a baseball reporter for us on Sports Grid. She does like Mets, Yankees, and everything baseball. It's media she's also heavily involved in, which we're heavily involved in. Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio has a gigantic presence on social media, and she's heavily involved in that. I met her before when I worked at CBS, so I knew Alyssa before she came to Sports Grid. And I also, I know her dad, right? Isn't that right, Carver High, Howie Rose? I think so. So, and what is he doing these days? Is he still, because, you know, I'm out of the loop. All I do is play basketball. Does he still, I know he did, you know, Mets forever, right? Or what else did
still
he do?
Still does the Mets on radio.
Still does the Mets on radio. And then didn't he, did he ever do the Islanders?
He did the Islanders for a long time, about 20 years he did the Islanders.
And then what, he quit doing the Islanders just to concentrate on baseball?
Yeah, decided to scale back and just do baseball.
So he does baseball. What are the Mets? They're on 880 now? Is that what they're on now?
Correct.
So, and then before that, they were on WOR. In New York?
For a few seasons, yes. They were on OR between then, yes. Now they're on 880.
Is he about my age, or is he older than me by a few years? Let's look it up. We have nothing better to do. It's very important that we find out how old Howie is. Because I think, he's got me by 11 years. Is he another, are we going to put him into that 70, 80 club? Are we going to put him in there? Do you think, are we going to get him in there? What do you think? Is he going to, oh, in front and a goal. It's 3-0 Columbus. Good night. They're going to join the Penguins and the Oilers and the Predators tomorrow. They're going to play mini putt-putt and they're going to go golfing. They've got terrific tee times in the morning in Toronto and Edmonton. Actually, I think they're all going to meet up somewhere else in a COVID-free zone. All the losers today. So what? Is that about five of the teams that were facing elimination all lost?
So far today, every team that was facing elimination has gone home.
Except the Wild, who haven't played yet.
Yes, there's one game to go that starts at 11 p.m. Eastern, and that is the Wild and the Canucks. But so far, nobody today has forced a Game 5.
And the worst of them would be the Penguins, correct? The worst loss would be my Penguins. And I know everyone takes great joy in me losing with my favorite team on earth, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Everyone always loves when my team loses, especially because they win so much, right? So they won 5 Stanley Cups, and so they've won 3 Stanley Cups recently in 9, 16, and 17 back-to-back. And so it's been 3 years since that, so it's far removed, if you ask me, since their winning ways. And they got their ass beat by the Canadians. I said today on Coast to Coast they were going to lose because they were getting out hit, out skated, out hustled. They never had possession of the puck the whole game. I don't know if you noticed that, Carver. You can't win if you don't have the puck. If you never have the puck, you don't win hockey games. You got to have the puck to, you know, skate into the zone and shoot. And if all you're doing is skating backwards and digging in the corners, your own end, you lose. That's what happens. That's called you're getting your ass beat. And the entire game, the first 2 periods when I was on the air, because I was on for the first and second period, Did I not say several times they're not winning this game because they can't even get the puck? And then the Oilers lost. So much for Connor McDavid being the greatest player in the world. He couldn't win either. You're not the greatest player in the world when you can't win. Okay? So you guys keep telling everybody he's the greatest player in the world. He never wins. He never wins anything, let alone a Stanley Cup playoff game.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, for On the Bench, Michael Williams is our buddy from golfwrx.com. I still think he lives in D.C. I could be wrong. We always like having Mike on. How's it going, brother? I hope you're doing good.
Yeah, doing good, man. Staying safe. And I am in D.C., nation's capital.
All right. So where do I begin? All right. So I was watching. First of all, let me say this. I'm very upset, Michael, because I just do not agree with the ESPN Plus coverage of the PGA Championship. My entire life, I watched the Leafs just score, but they're still down 3-1. I don't know if they have enough time to get back into this game because they suck so bad. They scored again. It's 3-2, so they do have a shot. I didn't see them score the other goal. There's 3 minutes left. They're down a goal. So here's the deal. The other night, they blew a 3-0 lead. Let's see if Columbus blows a 3-0 lead. Excuse me, Michael. Sorry, I have to keep people updated. Anyway, so here's the deal. My entire life, I grew up watching the majors, right? And my favorite, believe it or not, I think I've told you before, is the Open Championship. I like Lynx golf. I like bad weather. I like deep bunkers. I like wind. I like pelting rain. I like freezing. They're wearing sweatshirts, sweaters, hoodies, windbreakers, galoshes, the whole deal. And then the courses eat them alive, and they are brought down to their knees at the mercy of the golf gods, and it makes a man out of you playing over there. And all of the Americans are scared to death to play there. They hate it because they know they're going to get exposed. And so they show every round of golf in the majors, the Masters, every shot, the Open, every shot, the PGA, every shot, and the U.S. Open, every shot. What is this? I got to pay. Now, listen, I already have ESPN Plus. I could care less about $5. But I'm speaking for the average fan. I'm speaking for the average guy that's not going to pay $5 to watch golf on his cell phone. What has happened to golf that they put a major on a streaming app on a phone to watch the majors, for God's sakes? We've been in a quarantine and in a pandemic. I can't watch the PGA Championship on television all day. That's absolute BS.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you. And, you know, I can remember back in the day where, you know, even weekend coverage of the Masters, I'm able to remember where that was the back nine. No one ever knew what the front nine looked like because all they showed on TV was the back nine. So over the course of time, we have become very accustomed to getting more and more of our major championships. And you're right, that which you are comfortable with, you become to feel entitled to. And that's what I felt when, you know, we announced now you got to pay $5 to watch the first 2 days of this tournament. Am I in favor of it? No. But, you know, I understand it because, I mean, look at the flag that's flying outside the window. That's the American flag, man. And that's the way people do here. And especially with ESPN, because they've been hemorrhaging money because they've been showing, you know, what? Australian rules football, you know, again, you know, to make up for the time when there's no live sports. they're firing people left and right. The only people working in some of those places are Mickey's family, you know, over at Disney. So, you know, I understand why they do it. I also don't agree with it, but, you know, that falls firmly into the folder labeled it is what it is.
I got to tell you, though, it hurt this championship in ways I don't think we've seen yet, because I have to tell you, like, I watched it today on my smartphone, whatever. I watched it. I had it on, but I didn't really pay attention to it. I'll be honest with you. I had it on, but I was watching the Islanders. I was watching the Penguins. And then when it came on, when it came on TV in the afternoon, late afternoon on ESPN, then I watched, like, you know, because I love golf. But I just feel like, I'll be honest with you, I feel like they lost the championship for sure on Thursday and Friday. Like, there isn't I don't even think there's anyone on the face of the earth that cares about this tournament right now. I mean, honestly, because of that, no one even cares about it. All they care about is NBA and baseball and hockey, and that's it. I don't care what anybody. UFC's got more juice, and the Leafs just tied it. Anyway, I mean it. I think they've lost the golf fan with their BS.
Well, I think they lost the average fan, like the general fan. I mean, the golf fan's going to do what they got to do, right? I mean, it's like the guy who's going to pay for a UFC fight. If you're into that, it doesn't matter what the number is, you're going to pony up. But I do think you're right that it does lose the opportunity to get the average fan who is starved for sports, you know, and would watch major championship golf for free if it was available. And, you know, they're trying to balancing all these things, you know, the revenue opportunity versus, you know, the opportunity to grow the game. And I guess the dollar won out on this one, you know, versus the average fan. But you know what gets everybody back? You know, Eldrick Woods on the leaderboard coming into the weekend. If the big cat is anywhere near the lead, then everybody watches, and that includes everybody who can't even spell golf. They'll watch that thing because of that guy. He's sitting at, I believe, even par right now. He was two under on the first day, two over on the first day. So he's not out of it. You know, he's eight shots behind the leaders. It's like Hao Tung Lee from China, first Chinese golfer ever to lead a major championship after one round. So he's set for life. The party is really literally preparing a party for him. And you got Tommy Fleetwood, who he always reminds me like as an extra from Snatch. You know, I always want to ask him, like, you know, hey, do you like Dags? You know, cause he's just got like that. Do you like Dags? So, you've got a few other guys who are up there. But, you know, you've got the major championship winners right behind. You got Brooks Koepka, a.k.a. the Terminator, who's sitting back there. To me, that guy's like he's like Jack Nicklaus 2.0. He's got that same sort of relentless nature, that pace car nature to him. I'm going to put up a number, and let's see if any of you fools can catch it. That's exactly the way he plays in major championships. And he's doing it now, even where his hip is popping out on every other drive. He's got a guy out there stretching him out and putting his hip joint back into place. So God forbid this guy gets some PT overnight and comes out and is healthy. But, I mean, to answer your question, yeah, I mean, you're going to lose some people. You're going to lose some interest. And, of course, you got the NBA just back in the bubble. You got hockey, which you can't stop talking about because, you know, hockey's awesome. But if Eldrick is up there, if Tiger's up there, the hockey players stop playing hockey to go watch Tiger compete in the final round, right?
I'll give you that. That's pretty certain. But here's the deal. You know as well as I do, he's finished in this tournament. You seriously think he's making up? Because if you think they're going to stop at eight, do you think they're going down? Do you think they're going down? Because if they're going down, he's going down. If they're going up, he's not going to be able to catch him.
I don't think the score is going to be as good. I don't see another eight shots gained on that golf course over the course of the weekend. So in the beginning, it was soft. The greens were soft. Even though it was cold, the greens were very, very receptive, and the course was playing much, much easier. And the Chinese guy, Lee, had the last round that will be played under those conditions. The greens are firming up now. The fairways are firming up, and the winds are going to start to blow a little bit more, allegedly, over the weekend. And just like open golf, you were saying, if the weather is with them, the courses, you know, have teeth. And if the weather is not there, if you don't have wind and rain and those sorts of conditions, then, you know, the course really just opens the kimono and everybody can get at it. So it's if the weather is there, I think that, you know, the scores aren't going to go too much lower. And I think Tiger does have a chance. He's still, like in the top three iron players in the world. So if he can play from the fairway and hit a putt, he hit everything yesterday, and he putted like Ray Charles today. So, you know, if he can get back to hitting some putts, you know, he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Did you hear him? Hey, so what's the deal? Did this guy Lorenzo Vera, did he finish at 6 or 7? I mean, which is it? ESPN, they got on their one scoreboard, they got him at 7, and the other one, they got him at 6. Is there another one? He's at 5? I mean, what was his score?
He finished at 6. He finished at 6. 6 under. So him and Lee were at the top of the leaderboard. And the PGA Championship does that like almost no other. For the first 2 days, you see these guys who you've never seen before, never heard of. I call them the milk carton kids because, like, have you seen this golfer? You know, you've never seen him before. And all of a sudden, they pop up in the first 2 days of the PGA Championship. But, you know, that's why Koepka is looking good. To me, he's the practical leader. He's 2 shots behind the lead. Behind Lee. I mean, Fleetwood's a championship golfer. He's going to win a major someday. Jason Day is a former winner. He's got some cards there with him. But, you know, you expect a guy like Lorenzo Vera, Lee, these guys, no disrespect. Well, perhaps maybe just a little disrespect. But I think that they will probably run out of oxygen, you know, at some place over the weekend. Funny story about Lee, bro. I got to tell you this, man. The guy goes out and shoots this round, ends up on the top of the leaderboard. He's in the opening groups, right? 7 hours later, the guy's still on the practice range.
Yeah, I saw that.
7 hours later. I mean,
I saw it.
I mean, you talk about, I like, what are you doing, man? Come on. But what are you trying to figure out? You're in the league.
I saw,
it's insane.
I saw the guy, Jason Davis, talk. He said, I would have already passed out by the time that guy, he said, he doesn't have kids and all kinds of wives and problems. He goes, that guy has nothing better to do than go out and practice for 40 hours a day. And he said, I saw him on the practice, or he said he saw him hitting balls when he was teeing off, and he came back and he was still practicing 5 hours later. So he's crazy. Hey, yeah. Mike, enjoy Saturday and Sunday. I got to run, but we'll catch up again for all the big golf tournaments. You know that. And I love you. Enjoy Saturday and Sunday. Try not to give ESPN any money.
I love you back, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Michael Williams with us on the PGA Championship tonight. So Lee is the leader. Fleetwood and Jason Day with Berger, Koepka, all at 6 under. And Justin Rose, Lorenzo Vera, who? And some guy named Champ from America. All right, so I have to go back to the Leafs game because it's so exciting. And it's tough. Like, I didn't want to interview Michael and, like, cash his buzz and, like, ruin his interview with hockey. But the game was so exciting. I'm sitting here watching, and they were down 3-0 after the Brody Jenner goal. Is that his name? And then Nylander scored to make it 3-1. Then Tavares 3-2, and then Hyman 3-3. He tied it with 20 seconds left in the game. Now, I went on record with the Golden Muzzy. Did I not tell him that Nylander has been, I think, a difference maker for the Leafs? For me, he's been the best player. And again tonight, you're down 3-0. Who scores the goal to get you going? Nylander. I don't even think he's that good of a player. I think he's okay, but I think he's been good in this series for them. And he had a huge goal from Hyman and Marner. And then Marner assisted with Matthews on the Tavares goal. And then Matthews and Nylander again. So a goal and an assist in that barrage that started at 16:03, then 16:54, and then 19:37. They tied it up to send it to overtime. They were up 3-0. Atkinson, Gavrikov, and Jenner. And Jenner scored in the third period to make it 3-0. And you thought the game was iced. But how crazy is that, Carver High, that last night the Leafs were up 3-0 and blew that game 4-3, and Columbus stole it, and they were laughing on their bench going to the room after the game. I mean, they were all laughing, including Jerkwad Torts. And I want to beat his ass so bad. I want to like find him and beat his ass. Can you say that on the radio?
I just want to
find him and beat his ass, like just for fun. Someone needs, you know, he's the guy, he's the bully, right? Mr. Big Bully. He's the one that, you know, treats everyone like crap and yells and screams at people and talks down to people and makes people, puts them in their place and everything else. You know what you need to do to him, don't you? You need to slap his ass around and beat his ass. He needs to have his ass beat. That's what he needs. That guy, no one ever beat his ass. Meanwhile, he's like 4'2". I will beat his ass with one hand tied behind my back just for fun. Set it up, Carver High. Can you write that down in the book of things to do?
Yes, I just contacted Columbus to make sure that we can set that up.
I'm looking at, when the COVID ends, if I could get out there and find him and then, you know, beat his ass with one arm tied behind my back.
Let's do it. It'll be fun. Do you want to maybe put it on TV? We'll do a little charity event, something like that. Or,
well, ESPN Plus for $5. Put that in the book of things to do. So anyway, what do you think of the comeback? I know that you have money on Columbus to win the series. You could still win that tonight. You could still win that bet tonight. But what do you think of this comeback in less than 3 minutes, what they did?
Yeah, it's different than last night. You know, you've got 2-3-0 leads in back-to-back nights that get blown, but they were blown in such different ways. Last night was just like a slow, like a slow burn. Like it took a while. That 3-0 lead was in the middle of the second period, and Columbus just kind of chipped away at it a little bit and a little bit as the game kept going. Whereas tonight, I mean, there was 5 minutes left in the game, and there's a 3-goal lead, and Toronto blitzes them in the last 5 minutes and gets 3 goals, just a completely different way than last night. Fascinating. You know, now they're going to come out flying here. It's just like Columbus last night. The Leafs should come out with a little extra juice because they thought their season was over 20 minutes ago. I mean, over. And now they're sitting here and they've got a chance to force a game 5 on Sunday.
Yeah, and they'd be the only team that staved off elimination if they win this game tonight, because everyone else lost.
Six elimination games so far, everybody has been eliminated. You've got Toronto with a chance to force a game 5, and still coming up later on tonight in Edmonton, you've got Minnesota with a chance to force a game 5.
Penguins are finished. Panthers are finished. Predators are finished. Oilers are finished. Leafs are still alive. They need to score a goal or they're done. And then the Canucks Wild getting set to go any minute. And here it is. They're about ready to start up again. And I don't even know what's going on there. They're like showing, are you seeing this? Like, I'm on NHL Network. They're showing they're going to start in 5 minutes. Meanwhile, the game's going to start in about 20 seconds.
Maybe they're talking about the Canuck game that's going to start in 5 minutes.
They're just showing highlights. That's why. They're not starting for another 5 minutes. I thought they were actually on the ice and getting ready to go. So they're starting in 5 minutes. Fair enough. All right. So while we wait, I thought I'd at the very least get you caught up on the Celtics are killing the Raptors tonight. It's 70-52 in the third with 5 minutes left. So that's crazy, right? 70-52, blowing them out. The Pelicans won that game 118-107. Sixers 108-101 over the Magic. Nets made a playoff berth 119-106 over the Kings. Grizzlies beat the Thunder 121-92. And the Spurs beat the Jazz 119-111. So in that Celtic game, now I am right. They're starting the game right now. And meanwhile, they're literally selling on NHL Network that the overtime starts in 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Meanwhile, they're dropping the puck right now. You might want to take that off the screen there, somebody in master control, coming up, Leafs and Blue Jackets in 3 minutes, 35 seconds. They're still counting it down. Meanwhile, they're in the overtime. I knew I was right. I was like, maybe I'm seeing something here because it looks like they're about to drop the puck. No, these are high. Oh, shot on Matthews trying to win it early in the exercise, and then in front is losing. Oh, Matty. So in the Celtic game, Tatum's got 18. He's the leader. And then on the other side, they look horrible. Van Vliet has 12 to lead Toronto, who's obviously taking the night off. I just want to see again real quick who's not playing or something here. Because I could have sworn. So Siakam is in. He's got 9. Lowry's playing. He's got 11. Gasol's got 6. That's terrible. And Ibaka's playing. Powell, David, they're all playing. So, and then as far as Tatum, Hayward, Tice, Walker, Brown, they're all playing. The Celtics are just kicking their ass. That's just all there is to it. They're killing them.
Yeah, no, I did not see that tonight.
I did not either, right?
How about this one in baseball for you? Your Buccos, who had the walk-off against the Twins yesterday, tonight down 12-9 going to the ninth. They get 3 runs of Frazier, a homer to tie the game at 12s against the Tigers. Right,
I saw that. They were down 12-9 in a minute ago when I looked, and now they're tied.
Tied at 12s, the Tigers and the Pirates.
Didn't I wear my Pirates jersey the other day on the air and they won on a walk-off?
On the walk-off against Minnesota, you wore your Pirate jersey. And the Marlins win again, too. That is a final. They beat the Mets at Citi Field.
4-3. They never lose. The Marlins are going to go 56-4. I think they're going to go 56-4. They may not. Wouldn't that be funny if they actually did that? They all got the Honda, and then they won 56 out of 60. And then they won the World Series again. And in midseason, they fired Mattingly and brought back Trader Jack. I think he died, didn't he? I think he did die. We might want to check that as well. What else did we check tonight? How old Howie was. We are horrible human beings on this program. Horrible. I love him. Honestly, is he still alive? Well, he's not long for this world. Let's just leave it at that. He's one of my favorites, though. I have pictures with Trader Jack. I know. Why was he on my mind this week? It's because Mattingly passed Trader Jack for all-time wins. That's great. He's still alive at 89, still smoking them cigars. Remember how great he was? He partied.
Yeah, I remember it all right.
Him and Jim Leland, right? Of course you remember it because you're a Yankee fan. You didn't like that 2003.
Yankee fans remember Jack McKeon well with those cigars. We remember.
So what did you think of the Yankees crying about the situation in Philly?
I honestly thought it was really weak. I really did. You know, you're a team. You're playing great baseball. You're the Yankees, the big, mighty Yankees. To sit there after the game and not just cry about the fans out in center field and whatever. I mean, you heard Boone on Coast to Coast today. We played the audio talking about, well, you know, the kind of situation we're playing in right now, you know, it's like a golf atmosphere. Calm down. Honestly, there's a couple people out in center field making a little noise behind the gate. Play the game. All right, you're used to having 50,000 people in the stadium. I know for 2 weeks you've played with nobody in there, so now all of a sudden it's a problem. And then Montgomery was even worse, saying that the Philly announcers up in the broadcast booth are talking louder when they're throwing the pitches. I was a little taken back by it, Scotty. I didn't like it at all. I think it's a lot of crying from the Yankees.
Do you know who won that game for the Marlins tonight? Do you know who did it? Francisco Cervelli hit a 3-run homer.
Cervy.
your boy Cervelli, wasn't he a Yankee and then a Pirate, right?
Big time. I believe he won a ring with the 09 team, Cervelli.
He did. And then he was with the Pirates forever. Do you think if the Leafs lose this game that any of the players will end up in a rubber room?
Well, the good thing if the Leafs lose is they don't even have to spend another night in the bubble. They could just drive home to their houses, right?
That's right, because they live right there.
They live right there. They don't have to get on a plane. They can go right home.
Well, don't a lot of them go to, like, they like going to the lakes and stuff in Canada? They go off to these, you know, lake towns and, you know what I mean? They all go off to their watering holes, and I'm not talking about bars either. I'm talking about lakes and boats and out in the wilderness. They try to go escape reality and the pressures and the grind of the NHL. I got to tell you, the Leafs came out flying in this overtime. They came out flying. Like, they have so much speed and talent. They're trying to just, like, get the puck and score. I'll give them that. They are going at it hard to win this game. And they're so different, these two teams, I think, Carver High. One of them's very fast, and they move the puck, and they push it around and try to get in position from angles and you know, get someone flying through the slot. And they got all these guys cutting and slicing and shooting. And the other team is this mucker grinder hitting slow slodgy type team, right?
The ultimate contrast of styles. The Leafs want to play pond hockey, and the Blue Jackets want to play just slog it up, trap up the middle of the ice, don't let you do anything. And let's be fair, up until the 5-minute mark of this third period, the Blue Jackets had done it the entire series.
Yeah. So when we come back, I'll catch you up on all the scores. Hopefully we'll be on the air when this game ends and I can give you a reaction as it happens. I think a lot of the games today, I was in a break when things happened, like the... All right, throw on a bench. Anyway, what I was saying was I was on the air when Arizona won the game over the Predators. So that sucks. I like being on when these things happen, not being in a break. And then, you know, the Leafs right now are in overtime. I have to say, I was in the Church of Pharrell in the live chat, and I said that the Oilers, you know, the Penguins suck, and it's embarrassing. But they got outplayed, like, easily outplayed. Like, it was just so apparent and obvious. And then, I mean, they just never had the puck, and they were just always skating backwards, and you know, they should have lost. And then the Oilers, I was saying that McDavid and the Oilers suck too, because they do. The bottom line is that all I ever hear about is how great he is, which I know he is. That's great. He's a, you know, heart guy, MVP, all the rest. But what does all that get you but a slice of sharp cheddar cheese when you don't win cups? You know, there's a difference. I always said, and no one wants to hear it. They don't like hearing it, but he's nowhere near. I don't care what anyone says. He's nowhere near Gretzky. Not even close. It's not even close, Carver High, because Gretzky, all he did was shatter every record ever, and he won. He won cups. That's all he did was win cups. And this guy is no more near a cup than he has a better chance of becoming the king of England. And he's not English. He's got a better chance of being the king of England than winning a Stanley Cup. You know why? Because that GM there's a hack, and they got two players on the whole team, and one of them no one's ever heard of that's about to win the Hart Trophy, Dreisaitl. And he had two goals, whatever, in the game the other night, but he didn't do anything today either. So I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear how great he is when he never wins. They got beat by, like, the two worst teams, the Canadians and the Blackhawks were, like, the two worst teams in the whole thing, weren't they? And they beat the Penguins and Oilers. So all the Oilers fans can shut up and drink your warm beer.